This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. For today's arts edition of the show, we're joined in studio by Southwest Florida songwriter, guitarist, violinist, and vocal powerhouse Claire Liparulo. Claire is the front woman of the popular band The Free Coasters, whose unique sound infuses American Southern soul with reggae and rock rhythms. The band performs prolifically at venues throughout the broader Southwest Florida region and beyond. Their first full-length album, Show Up, was released in 2016. We're still working out the logistics to one day bring the Free Coasters on this show, but today Claire joins us after recently making the big decision to make music her full-time professional pursuit, which means we'll have even more opportunities going forward to check out her solo performances, which we'll be getting a sampling of today. Claire has been hard at work composing new songs, so even if you're already a fan on today's show, you're likely to hear some new original songs from Claire that maybe you haven't heard before. Claire, welcome to Gulf Coast Live, and thanks so much for taking the time to share your talents with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I was driving in on the way here, and at the welcome gate where I was going to get my pass, I had to actually get out of my car at the welcome center to get my pass because it was a lunch break. I'm like, the 10 minutes that I would be driving through is the lunch break time. But it was cool that I got out because it's really nostalgic for me to be here. I went to school at FGCU. And,
oh, that's right.
I graduated back in 2007, but I'm not old, so.
Oh, right. Well, and as always, I invite listeners to join our conversation as well. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Claire, just before we get too thick into the weeds with the Q&A portion of the show, let's just start off with a song. So tell us what we're going to hear and maybe give us a little bit of an introduction.
Sure. I debated whether I was going to start with a cover or an original. I'm going to do a cover right now because before we got on air, we were talking about someone who's been really influential to me, Jason Isbell. He wrote a song, a pretty popular song now, in my opinion, the best song on the A Star Is Born soundtrack, the remake. And Bradley Cooper sings it. It's I think it goes... maybe it's time to let the old ways die. And this song kind of reminds me of that, and it talks about some other things that are really important to me. So this one is called Last of My Kind. It's by Jason Isbell.
Couldn't be happy in the city at night. Can't see the stars for the neon lights. Sidewalks dirty and the river's worse. Underground trains all running reverse. Nobody around here can dance like me. Everybody clapping on a 1 and 3. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? So many people with so much to do. Winter's so cold, my hands turn blue. Old man sleeping on the filthy ground. Spend the whole day just walking around. Nobody around here seems to care. They walk right past them like they ain't even there. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? Daddy said the river would always lead me. The river can't take me back in time. Daddy's dead and gone. The family farm's a parking lot. Walton's 5 and dime. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? Tried to go to college, but I didn't belong. Everything I said was either funny or wrong. Laughed in my boots, laughed in my jeans. Laughed when they gave me amphetamines. Left me alone in a bad part of town. 36 hours to come back down. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? last of my kind. Mama said God won't give you too much to bear. Well, it might be true in Arkansas, but I'm a long, long way from there. And that old world's a lonely, faded picture in my mind. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? Last of my
That was Southwest Florida's own singer-songwriter Claire Liparulo performing Jason Isbell's Last of My Kind. Beautiful song, Claire. Thank you so much. What
Thank
a great
you.
Way to start the show.
Thank you. I think it's a beautiful song, too. That's why.
Yeah. Well, let's start at the beginning with you in music. Tell me a little bit about your early introductions. Did you come from a particularly musical family? Or?
So my dad was a bassist and a guitarist. And, you know, later on in life when I, you know, my brother and I came around, we were his second family, his second marriage and the children of that marriage. And, you know, I think he always loved music, but he had a fear of kind of going after it. And I always, you know, I was always so fascinated with musical instruments and I loved singing even when I was, you know, I can remember singing to a guy that my parents used to pay to mow our lawn. And, like, and I would ask him if I should be a singer when I grew up. And he's like, yeah. And, you know, I didn't play a guitar until probably the age of 13. But I was always fiddling around with everything. And I started messing with a keyboard. Like an old Casio keyboard, and I just would start picking out Christmas songs because I loved Christmas songs, and I could just figure it out by ear. I think the first Noel is the song that I remember playing first, but when I was 11, I joined a strings class in middle school, and I was like, oh, strings, you know, I'll get to finally play this guitar my dad bought me when I was 11. I'll figure out how to play that now. And, mm-hmm. You know, strings meant that everybody played the violin. So like 30 kids playing the violin. But I remember sitting in the room with all of those kids and we were figuring out how to move the bow across the strings. And I remember hearing the A that, you know, a symphony tunes to an A, and everybody got their A in tune together all at once. And it was such a simple, small thing, but I feel like at the time that was like the most beautiful sound I'd ever heard in my life. And it was just like, I think that was when I had always loved music, but I remember that moment of feeling like I got infected,
yeah,
you know, by it. And I've always been in love with it. It's always been my passion ever since.
So the violin kind of came first for you then?
It sort of did, yeah. And it was just because it was there. And they gave us like a book to take home to teach us, you know, how to play each note, how to start reading music. And I just became obsessed with it. And I kept practicing to my family's dismay, you know. The violin's not exactly a fun instrument to hear people learn on.
No, no, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
But I loved it, and I still love it. I don't do it as much, but I actually, I played before FGCU really had a music program. I was in like one of the founding chamber groups here at FGCU. I think there were probably about 15 people. It was really small, and it was when the music program, I think, was still in a portable on campus here, so I feel like I'm really dating myself still. But I, you know, I've always loved it, and I'm hoping now that I don't have a full-time job that eats up about, you know, 60 hours of my life every week, that I'm going to put more time back into the things that I love, like violin. And I sort of started learning to play mandolin, too, because if you can play violin and you can strum a guitar, then you should be able to learn mandolin, sort of, you know.
All right. So, can you remember back to, like, among your early musical influences, like the first musician or the first band you were just totally enamored with?
I remember being told that I couldn't get enough of Creedence Clearwater Revival.
That's not what I was expecting.
When I was a toddler, I told you you were going to laugh. He said he was going to ask that question, and I said, you're going to laugh at me. But, you know, if you think about it, I mean, there's so many elements of Creedence that, not to say they're my most influential band that I've ever loved, but if you think about their sound and the southern rock and mixed with the soul and blues and rock and roll, and sort of country, I don't want to say country jangle, but, you know, like reggae music is so similar to country music when you break it down into where the beats go. And I think that you can hear a lot of my soul and rock and roll influence through a band like that. You can hear how that influenced me, or at least that I would have definitely loved that band knowing what I'm into now and what I do now.
Right, right. Well, and a moment ago when you know, created that mental image of, you know, the girl with the Casio keyboard and figuring out songs by ear, I was thinking I had kind of a similar experience when I was little, but the first songs I was trying to figure out to play by ear on a piano keyboard was like hymns from church. And,
yeah.
And I know from past conversations I've had with you that you're Catholic.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if that was something that sort of influenced your music as well.
The First Noel is a Christian, you know,
yeah,
song. And I loved Christmas growing up. And my favorite thing about it was, you know, we got to sing the songs in church. You know, I think I was probably a part of their choral program briefly, but I didn't really click with it. It wasn't my thing because it wasn't enough of the things that I loved. It meant that I was singing, but it was so structured and it was so, I don't want to say boring, but it was like, it was not enough of the exciting things to me. But I got some really great experience and exposure to a lot of music through that, because you sing and worship, you know?
Yeah.
And the listening to my parents' records and vinyl, like my favorite part of Christmas season was, like, before we even got the tree, I was harping on my mom about pulling out the Christmas vinyls,
yeah,
and throwing that on the turntable and be like, yeah, can I listen to the vinyl yet? Can we listen to the vinyl? Can I put out the record yet? But so I would say that it exposed me to it, but I don't think it was that influential for me. Maybe not. And then but I do think about times, like, there are certain spiritual songs that really speak to me. Like I'll Fly Away is a song that I'm in love with, and it's simple, but it's touched me to the point of tears sometimes. Or, Amazing Grace is beautiful, like the classic spiritual songs. And I mean, it's pretty cool. If you look through some of the missals, you even see songs that Cat Stevens wrote. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, Claire, I'm going to ask you to play another song for us. And again, just tell us what we're going to hear and tell us a little about it.
Sure. I'll let you pick. I could either do an Ani DiFranco song, or I could do an original song.
Let's do an original and circle back to the Ani, because we're going to take the conversation that direction.
Okay. All right. This song is one of my newer tunes that I've been writing. This one's called Too Young. When I'm older,
more than I did. Gonna be the kind of woman you could be satisfied with.
Wonderful. It was the sultry, soulful vocal stylings of our guest today, Southwest Florida's own singer-songwriter Claire Liparulo. We just heard her original song, Too Young. And again, I invite listeners to join the conversation. Connect with us. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And I want to circle back to the Free Coasters in a minute here, but first, you know, let's talk about the music you tend to gravitate toward with your solo performances, because you know, I've been fortunate enough to see you perform both solo and with the band, and they're both amazing, but they're just kind of at opposite ends of the spectrum in a lot of ways. How would you characterize the styles of music you tend to tackle when you're solo on the stage?
I can't get into any kind of music unless I feel like there's something meaningful going on. So I like lyrically or melodically, if there's, you know, for example, when I heard the song Changes and the original version of the song, you know, I just blew past it because I didn't get it the way it was performed. But when Charles Bradley performed Changes, it cut through me like a knife. And it's just something about an emotional performance or a lyric that's cutting. And so that's the music that I perform. And it's in that way I get to stay true to myself, too. Where, you know, a lot of gigs that you get paid for, you've got to play a lot of covers because it's just a lot of times what people want to hear. But at the same time, I think there's enough of the music that I love that other people would love, too. So when you hear my set, it's not going to be necessarily the same songs you're hearing in every bar in town. But Jason Isbell is a huge influence to me right now. He's an incredible songwriter. Ani DeFranco has always been an amazing songwriter and a huge influence for me. Not every piece that she does do I gravitate towards, but there's some sort of genius behind her that is just so poignant and lyrically brilliant that I love that.
Yeah. Well, Ani's songs are so self-expository.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if you find it easier to play covers when you're performing for an audience, because by that I mean it's essentially someone else's words versus an original song where you might be more exposed or vulnerable. But then I'm thinking at the same time, if you're gravitating towards songs that resonate with you, mm-hmm. then you're kind of taking them personal, even if they were written by someone else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, I don't do every song exactly as it's been written. There's some songs where I, you know, may alter lyrics if I feel that it suits, you know, my situation. I sort of will flip a word around sometimes in a verse if I feel it suits me better. Like there's a Jason Isbell song called Tupelo that I cover. I know, yeah. I'm talking about him a lot today. That wasn't my intention, but there's a lyric in the song where he's talking about the other person, but I flip it in a way because in my situation, I felt that that was how a person viewed me. Or, you know, other times I'll create a mashup out of two different songs that I feel really go together well, like a couple Ani DeFranco songs that I do, Fire Door and Out of Habit. And I remembered in my mind I had put them together that she had done the mashup, but it was me that did it. I just heard a similarity between the two a long time ago. But
okay. Well, do you wanna perform that one for us now?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. And actually, I played a tribute show for an organization in town for a benefit, Love Your Rebellion.
Yes.
Shout out to Angela Page. She'll love the shout out,
sure. She's a friend of the station.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I love her. She's awesome. But she invited me to do a solo set. So I did an entire set of Ani DeFranco songs, and this is one of the ones I chose. I opened a fire door to four lips, none of which were mine, kissing. I tied my belt around my hips where your hands were missing. And I step out into the cold color high, under the slate gray sky. And the air was smoking and the streets were dry. And I wasn't joking when I said goodbye. And there were magazine quality men talking on the corner, French no less, much less of them than us. So why do I feel like something's been rearranged? You know, taken out of context, I must seem so strange. Get out of cockroach so big left a puddle of pus on my wall. And you know, you and I are lying in bed. You know, you don't seem so tall. And I'm singing now because my tear ducts are too tired. My mind is disconnected, but my heart is wired.
get out by. Somebody should study me now. Somebody's gotta be interested in how I feel just 'cause I'm here. And I'm reeling, oh, how I miss substituting a conclusion, a confrontation with a kiss. And oh, oh, how I miss walking up to the edge and jumping in like I could feel the future on your skin. Out of habit, you know the toast isn't even warm, and you know that waitress and the man in the plaid shirt play out the scene. They played so many times before, and that son stumbles home from a bar on the east side of town, and that coffee is just water dressed in brown. Beautiful but boring. Me yesterday, and he noticed my fingers, and he asked me if I would play, and I said I don't really care a lot, couldn't think of a reason why not. So I said, if you don't come any closer, I don't mind if you stay. You know my thighs have been involved in many accidents, and now I can't get insured, and now I don't need to be lured by you. My heart is built like a wound that won't heal, so now you don't have to ask, because you know how I feel. Now you know how I feel. You know, art is why I get up in the morning. My definition and theory, you know, doesn't seem fair that I'm living for something I can't even define. But there you are right there. In the meantime, well, I don't want to play for you anymore. Show me what you can do. Tell me, what are you here for? I miss my old friends. I miss my old face. I miss my old mind. Not this time and place. Door to four lips, none of which were mine. Kissing, they tied my belt around my hips where your hands are missing. And I step out into the cold collar high under the slate gray sky. The air was smoking and the streets were dry. And I wasn't joking when I said goodbye.
Beautiful. That was our guest today, Claire Liparulo, live in studio performing for the hour. That was a mashup to covers of two Ani DiFranco songs, Fire Door and just flew out of my head.
Me too. Out of habit.
Out of habit. Thank you. Well, and it kind of leads into my next question here, yeah. Like being on the topic of Ani DiFranco, because I was reading this article about your band, The Free Coasters, that was a couple years old from the news press, and you were noted in there as saying something along the lines of, you know, the music being about the concerns of working class people. And that just immediately led me to think about Ani DiFranco, because I knew that you liked her. That was something that we had in common. And I'm thinking of lines like from songs like Pale Purple, where she's saying things like, I'm surrounded by the haves. They say I can have some too because of what I do. You know, but do they think a lot about those who have not, or is it just distracting from what they do? And I was just noting some kind of a connection there, and I'm wondering if that's something that you've consciously kind of run through with theme in your music, whether that's the Free Coasters or your solo work, this idea of using music as a vehicle for advocacy.
You know, I don't really use it as a form of advocacy, but more I guess it becomes more of a way to connect with people who are like you. You know, my parents worked like crazy when I was young, and I learned early on in my life that nothing, you know, for most people, nothing really comes easily to you. And so it bred a person who, you know, works really hard for things and appreciates the hard work of other people. And I think when that quote came out, we had recently played a show up in Tampa at a dive bar in the Port of Tampa that was also like a bar and package kind of place.
Sure.
And the place, like, just it filled up with dock workers. And I was told that, you know, usually it was sort of a rowdy scene when it would, you know, become like overflowing with these guys because they were tired, they were overworked, you know what I mean? All the things that and frustrated and you throw alcohol into it, I guess. But they filled up the bar, and when we were playing our music, they were just kind of chill.
Yeah.
They were just kind of like into it, like, yeah, I get this, you know. And the style of reggae that we do is working class music. It comes from an early time in reggae culture, reggae music, post ska, rock steady, early reggae is kind of like where we fit in rhythmically and what we identify with. And a lot of the music then was sort of, it was the working class people who kind of got together and spent time together and sort of celebrated over this music and would dance to it together. And you'd wear the best of what you had, your button-up plaid shirt. You'd take your one pair of great denim pants. You'd shine your Doc Martens, and you'd go out looking as dapper as you possibly could. But you're never wearing like a tuxedo anywhere.
Right.
But it became a really big part of that subculture, and it's something that, you know, that I identify a little bit more with, a tougher life, a tougher skin, and I think that's kind of more where I was going with that.
Gotcha. Well, in that same vein, when you were just talking about, you know, the style of music the Free Coasters does, I have to say I'm definitely one of those people who, for a long time, if you said the word reggae and I thought about that genre of music, I would just immediately go to, like, Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Oh, yeah.
But it was really from going to Free Coaster shows and talking to other audience people that I kind of got the sense that there's this whole other aspect of reggae that I just wasn't even paying attention to.
Oh, yeah. It's such a vast bank of music with so much cultural influence and so many waves of it. It's just, it's really cool. And I think sometimes a lot of people come out to see us, and we find that we do better when people don't know what kind of music we play, that we get a much better reception. We played
because they don't come with expectations.
Then. Exactly. They don't come in there thinking, oh, this is, you know, this is a revolution, or this is this is the popular style of reggae right now. But when they asked me to join the band almost 5 years ago now, coming up in late January, it was such a foreign idea to me that I would ever be in a reggae band because it wasn't a part of my influence, but it resonated so much with me, and I was fascinated with the polyrhythms and, you know, the things that a music nerd would be fascinated with. But I was like, I remember saying to them, like, oh, you want me to sing in a reggae band? I'm like, I sing like Florence and the Machine and Anita Franco, are you sure?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, well, we want to do like Stax Records, Motown, Otis Redding, that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, well, I really like that stuff. I'll do that, but I'm not going to talk in a fake Jamaican accent on stage. And they're like, no, we don't want you to do that either. We don't want you to do that. I'm like, okay, good. Well, So I brought a Sugar Billy / Joss Stone song to practice, and they learned it, and I learned one of their songs. And when I got into the practice room and we played Super Duper Love, it was the first song we ever played together. It was like, holy crap, this is like magic. This is a really cool sound. This is really something that we want to do. And I think that a specific time I can think of that really resonating with people. We were really lucky. We got on a bill for Gasparilla Music Festival almost a couple years ago, a year and a half ago. And we played early on a Sunday, and we were on like a side stage, but we hit our first note, and people just started funneling in as we were playing our songs, and the crowd just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that wasn't something I was used to seeing, because when people find out we're not Bob Marley, they sort of start to sometimes, you know, can trickle away. But we try to be familiar enough that they stick around, and the crowd just got huge. And it was just one of the best receptions I think we ever had, because it was just people were going to that festival looking for music that was good and not music that was a specific idea.
Right.
To them.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and hear another song.
Sure.
And again, tell us the title and a little bit about it.
Yeah. I'm going to – I had to pull up – I got scared because a lot of these songs are really new. So I was afraid with my, like, nerves or whatever that I was going to forget some parts of them. But I'm going to do a newer song that I just finished writing a couple weeks ago. It's called Talk to Me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Please let me close enough to hear you breathe. Touch me. Walk with me. Please let me hold your hand. Something in between. Cause I never begged for nothing in my life. Never needed anybody by my side. But since you left, baby, nothing feels like it's ever gonna be alright. Talk to me. Talk to me. To me. Touch me. Touch me, please. Please let me minimize all the space we have between. Look at me. Nothing but this cold, lonely stone. Because I never begged for nothing in my life. Never needed anybody by my side. And since you left, baby, nothing feels like it's ever gonna be alright again. Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Hey, talk to me. Ooh. Ooh. Talk to me.
talk to me. They serve me close enough. Give me something in between. 'Cause I never begged for nothing in my life. Never needed anybody to get by. But since you left, baby, nothing feels like it's ever gonna be alright again. Talk to me. Talk to me. Since you left, baby, nothing feels like it's ever gonna be alright. Talk to me. Talk to me.
Southwest Florida singer-songwriter Claire Liparulo is with us in studio today. We just heard one of her freshest, newest original songs, Talk to Me. And as always, I invite listeners to connect with our show and join the conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. We have a call right now from Robert in Port Charlotte. Well, I can't get to that call just yet, but as soon as I am able to, we'll bring Robert on the air. In the meantime, I was hoping you could give us a little bit of insight on your approach to writing new music. Like, it seems like recently you've really been in kind of a bit of a creative uptick when it comes to creative new music or making new music.
Yeah. Leaving my job was a big part of it. You know, when you put so much mental energy and physical energy into something that isn't really where your passion lies, but and the rest of it is going into your band and the people that you love. It's like, what time did I have left? People who know me know how badly I was burning the candle at both ends with a torch.
Yeah.
So having that free time now is so important, and I've got a lot of things that have been going on over the last few years that I haven't, you know, necessarily dealt with. And it's given me time to have to sit and ponder that. And I think for most creative people, what's so important is that you have time to be bored, or you have time to sit and daydream. Or
idle time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The art of doing nothing, I guess, is sort of an Italian thing, and I am Italian, so
yeah,
you know, right. I should be good at it. But for the band, you know, the process is a little bit different because we write collaboratively,
right?
Very collaboratively, and so everyone has creative license in the band room to say, you know, I don't really like that part, or I feel like, you know, every song we have is this sort of chord structure. Maybe we need to do something a little different with it. Maybe we don't play the same type of rhythm on it, or maybe we add a bridge. And, you know, you don't hear a lot of bridges in reggae music. Maybe we should write a bridge. There's a lot of bridges in soul music. Let's do that. So, but I usually write most of the lyrics and vocal melodies, but musically it starts often with our bass player or keyboard player with an idea, and then somebody hooks onto that. It's like, oh, that's really cool. Let me see what that turns into.
Are you the disciplined sort of songwriter? And I mean that in the sense of like setting aside time each day to write, or is it more like when inspiration strikes, that's when the productivity happens?
With the band, I'd say I'm more disciplined with that because we've got deadlines and stuff that we need to hit for our record. So that requires a lot more discipline and a lot more practice, and woodshedding, I guess we call it. And for my personal stuff, it's so the career change is so new that I'm not real sure what I want to do with it yet. But a lot of the songs that I'm writing and the style that I used to write in lends itself really well to, you know, folk or Americana with a touch of soul, and I'd really like to explore that. So that I think is going to happen a little more organically over the next several months, but the record is super important. We're going to record that in January, and there's probably three more songs I still have to write lyrics for, so I got to crack that whip on myself and get those done. If the band's listening, they're probably like, uh-huh.
Well, let's hear from Robert in Port Charlotte now, who's been out waiting on the line. Robert, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. And listen, I enjoy the show. And Claire, your music is awesome. you have synthesized so much of the music I love. But my question was simply this. And two songs ago, I missed some of the reggae, and I love reggae, but I heard a little Tracy Chapman and Joni Mitchell. Is there any connection to your listening for that? And that's all I had. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Robert, for the nice things you just said, too. And I absolutely love both of those artists. I'm a huge Joni Mitchell fan. In fact, when I was going to do a tribute set at that Love Your Rebellion show here in town, I was debating between Ani DeFranco and Joni Mitchell because I know a lot by both of them. And Joni Mitchell is such an incredible artist as a songwriter, and she pushed a lot of limits, so I have a lot of respect for her. And then Tracy Chapman, I've been listening to since I heard Fast Car, and Fast Car is one of my favorite songs of all time, and it's a part of my set, actually, and it resonates a lot with me because of my life experiences, and I've always looked at that song as I had hope for her in that song, or her character in that song, that, you know, she didn't live this life that led to, you know, ruin and repeat this negative cycle that she found herself in, this dysfunctional relationship that she dove into to get out of another dysfunctional family situation. And I always fantasize for her that she played this in her mind, the scenario of what was going to happen in that song. And she decided, you know what, this is more of exactly what I've been living with. So you know what, you can take that fast car and keep on driving. Yeah. But I just, and Tracy Chapman too is another great example of sort of blue collar music too, that it resonates with so many people on that real working class level. And she's got soul and she's got heart, and you know, I can't say enough good about either of those artists. So thank you for the question.
Yeah, no, thank you, Robert. That was great. Nice discerning ear there as well. I mean, he definitely tuned right into your influences there.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and hear another song here from you, Claire. And again, tell us what we're going to hear.
This one is, I think, my last original that I'm going to do, just because I want to make sure I get it in there if I get on a tangent.
Okay.
Over something else. But this song is called Love Isn't Good. I don't want to know the answer to the question you left hanging in the air. And I don't wanna hear the dropping lever. Feel the weight of knowing you no longer care. We were supposed to be the reason people said little things like opposites attract, and love always finds a way. You should know that I wanted to be that woman for you, but it's over now. Sometimes love isn't good. And the storm choked all the light out of the room. And when I lost the man who couldn't show me how, all the love you had was already pouring out. Oh, we were supposed to be the reason people said things like opposites attract, and love always finds a way. You should know that I tried to be that
woman for you the best I could. Sometimes love isn't good. We were supposed to be the ones who made it through. I wish I'd understood what I had put you through. I just always thought I'd learn to find a way. But it's over now. You couldn't hear me anyway. Hey, I don't wanna know the reason people say little things like opposites attract and love always finds a way. You should know that I wanted to be there for you. I wish I could. Sometimes love isn't good. Well, it's over now. And sometimes love isn't good.
Beautiful, beautiful. That was Love Isn't Good, a new original song from our guest today, Claire Liparulo, who's been with us in studio this hour. Claire, it's been so lovely. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And before we go, I just want to make sure that I mention you can catch Claire performing with her band, The Free Coasters, tomorrow night. They're going to be at Ella's Americana Folk Art Center in Tampa. And on Saturday, they'll be at Cork Soakers in Cape Coral back here in Southwest Florida. Sunday, they'll be at the Tiki Bar on Charlotte Harbor. And the big show that I want to make sure we mention is on December 21st at Beach Records. That's going to be the pre-order party for their second full-length album, which we're all, of course, anxiously anticipating.
Oh, so. I'm super excited about that.
Yes. And of course, you can check them out online at their Facebook page, The Free Coasters, or at thefreecoasters.com. You can also check out their music at thefreecoasters.bandcamp.com or on Spotify. And if you want to find out where Claire is going to be playing her solo gigs, you can also check out her YouTube music channel or on Facebook, Claire Liparulo Music as well. And our show today was produced by yours truly, with production assistance from Mike Canary and Rachel Iacovone. Our director is Richard Cinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tarek Halligan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. And Claire, can you maybe treat us to one more tune before we go?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to do another Jason Isbell tune, just because it's just a specific one right now that's really...
He's on our minds today.
He is, yeah. And I'm not a sycophant, I promise. You know, my bass player actually is the one who introduced me to him, so you can thank John Schiller for that.
Thanks, John.
This song's called Tupelo. We talked about it earlier, so I'm like, you know, just do it. Just fine, riding home with the windows up, alone with a plastic cup of real good wine. If I get out of this hole, I'm going to Tupelo. There's a girl down there that'll treat me. Thank you.
nothing left to talk about. My age, I should have figured out which drawer to put the good knives in. The wars between the weekends tore the playhouse down. Kept it close, but way too close to me. I never lived up to that memory. Driving fast with the windows down, past I don't belong to now. Mystery. If I get out of this hole, I'm going to Tupelo. There's a girl down there that'll treat me fair. You get about a week of spring and the summer's blistering. Though there ain't no one from here that'll follow me there. No, there ain't no one from here that'll follow me there. Tupelo. There's a girl down there that'll treat me.